We've got our take cannons loaded and ready.
Ready.
Absolutely dominant on deep routes. Absolutely dominant on short routes.
The boys are back, baby.
Excellent separation against man coverage.
It's Reception, Perception, the show. Yo, what's cracking, everybody? James Go, Matt Harmon here with you. You're listening to Reception, Perception, the show. All right, Matt Harmon, the show moves on. We are going to be, we got a fresh batch of running back profiles that have hit the site. We've got wide receiver profiles coming up, brand new ones coming up relatively soon here too. Quarterback profiles, obviously, on the site. We're going to do a great quarterback wide receiver matching game between Drake May and AJ Brown. But, man, can we start first with, I know it's the dead season. I know it's silly season here for the NFL offseason. But there is a legitimate, like a legitimate storyline developing out of Las Vegas that Brock Bowers will be this year's Jackson Smith and Jigba. And I know you've got thoughts about tight ends and wide receiver comparisons, but when you saw this little, I don't know, this narrative starting to form here, what was your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, we pretty much should just stop doing that.
Why do we do this?
There are two different positions, okay?
Yes, correct.
There are two different positions. Even in an ideal world, you know, they're going to be used differently, right? Like, the guy who has been closest in terms of wide receiver usage to tight end, kind of like a tight end who's been closest to wide receiver usage is like Mike Gesicki. Like, if you look at like Mike Gesicki's snaps in line, it's just completely different from like most tight ends. Like, he truly is the Bengals, especially he currently plays with the Bengals. Obviously, he's with the Dolphins before that. He really is like a big slot receiver. He's the Bengals' big slot receiver. That's why, like, when T. Higgins misses time, basically they put Jamar Chase out more snaps at the perimeter. And, you know, if you're comparing just like Mike Gesicki to Andre Yoshivas or whatever, Gesicki's probably just like a little bit more of a dynamic player. So this is a thing in fantasy. Like, and I've done this before. It's like, oh, T. Higgins is out. You play old buddy Mike Gesicki as your tight end because he's basically their big slot receiver. But for the most part, that's about the only real example of that.
I know why the comparisons happen, Matt, because, again, you got Clint Kubiak coming from Seattle. Now he's the new head coach in Las Vegas. And I don't know, like, I've seen, like, you know, they've done like a full like statistical history of like tight ends under Clint Kubiak. None of which are impressive, by the way, but for some reason they're being used as like, oh my God, it's coming for Brock Bowers. But AJ Barner had 52 catches for 519 yards and 6 touchdowns last year for Seattle, which, by the way, for again, it's pretty good. It's not bad. I'm just saying it's not like, oh my God, numbers here. Vikings in 2021, Tyler Conklin had 593 yards, second most in his in a season of his career. Saints Juwan Johnson recorded 50 catches for 550 yards in 2024, a good season for Juwan Johnson. But again, none of these jump off the page here, and I just it's like, what are we doing out here, man? Like, Brock Bowers is a tight end. At best, he's going to play in the slot. How did JSN make the jump from being a good wide receiver to being a great wide receiver? Oh, that's right. He got a lot more X receiver snaps. Mm-hmm. So what are we talking here with Brock Bowers? I'm just so confused. Unless Brock Bowers all of a sudden becomes Las Vegas's primary go-to X receiver, how does that jump even happen? You know what I'm saying?
Now, I think there's a chance that he could play some X receiver now, like, right? And I think there will be times where he does do that because he is an extremely dynamic player, is Brock Bowers. Last year, he had 21.7% of his targets come as an inline tight end. That was the out of among 50 players at the tight end position who had 50 plus targets, 29 players. Just at the tight end position, that was the 14th fewest from a percentage standpoint. So there are other guys doing the inline target even less. TJ Hockenson Chigga Conquo, Cade Otton, funny enough, actually is pretty low.
That's
there.
A surprise.
Pat Freiermuth, Travis Kelce, not a surprise. Some of those names there. The guys who have the highest percentage of their targets coming as an inline tight end is Tyler Warren, Evan Engram, funny enough, Harold Fannin. So it depends, obviously, if, like, this is true passing down stuff, not inline blocking, which is a totally different situation. But, you know, Kyle Pitts had like a higher percentage of his targets, only 23.5% as an inline tight end than Brock Bowers. I think Bowers will move across the formation, play a lot of different positions. I saw a really interesting comparison in an interview that our former Raiders coach Scott Turner did with our mutual friend Ted Wynn from The Athletic, who covers the Raiders. Nice. He did an interview. Scott did an interview with Ted. And obviously, Scott coached Brock Bowers his rookie year with the Raiders. Him and his father, Norv, took over the offensive duties after some chaos on the coaching staff, which is wont to happen there in Las Vegas. And I think they actually did a pretty decent job with it. But anyways, so they took over. They fired Luke Getsy, I believe, was the offensive coordinator that year. They fired Getsy. The Turners took over. And I think they actually did some cool stuff. So he compared Brock Bowers to Drake London, which I think actually makes much more sense than Jaxon Smith-Njigba, especially if we're talking about like a like player to player, right? Because JSN is, what, 197? He's definitely sub 200 pounds.
Yep.
And he is a guy that will do most of his damage, at least did most of his damage last year as an outside receiver. Drake London obviously can play a ton of outside receiver, but he's been really effective when he's moved across the formation and especially when he's been off the ball and in the slot. Now, again, Drake London can certainly much more, I think, than Brock Bowers probably be a every down X receiver. We've seen him do that the first few years in his career. Under Arthur Smith, Drake London was like an every down X receiver, essentially. Didn't really do a lot of movement. Last 2 years in Zach Robinson's offense, more snaps off the ball, more snaps in the slot, a lot more pre-snap motion, and runs a route tree that I think actually would make a lot of sense in this Clint Kubiak offense with Fernando Mendoza, especially as they're integrating him into the league. So I think that's actually a much more apt comparison from Scott Turner than comparing Brock Bowers to what JSN did last year, where it's so much like so many downfield vertical routes from the X receiver position. I don't think that Bowers is going to be doing that.
I mean, even if it's a better comparison, Matt, it's still a bad comparison, man. Don't disrespect Drake London's route run. I like Brock Bowers. He's a good player, obviously great players, nearly 1200 yards receiving, his rookie season, 5 touchdowns, and what was it, like over 110 catches, right? Like, he was incredible, was Brock Bowers' rookie campaign, right? Fell off a little bit last year, 680 yards receiving, 7 touchdowns in 12 games. So pretty good overall, but still a huge fall off for him. Okay, that being said, dude, I just, like, Drake London's route running versus Brock Bowers' route running is just, it's a completely different level, you know, like, again, if we were to judge Brock Bowers as a just pure receiver, like, in your mind, Matt, like, forget, take away like the tight end duties, but just like as a pure route runner, like, like Brock Bowers is not anywhere in that same ballpark as some of these dudes that you're mentioning.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I don't know. I think that obviously I've never charted Brock Bowers. But at the same time, I think from a flexibility standpoint, from a movement skills perspective, he's definitely really dynamic. And I think Drake London, though, is obviously really dynamic. It's just, again, it's really hard to judge these two positions together. So there were only a small handful of wide receivers who even got a target when lined up as an inline tight end last year. Mm-hmm. These are the guys who had. These are the guys who had more than one. Shockingly, last year, Cooper Kupp was not one of them. But one of them, the guy who had only one with four, was Puka Nacua, of course.
Okay.
Michael Pittman had 3. Khalil Shakir had 3. Christian Watson, funny enough, had 3. Trey Tucker. Maybe Trey Tucker had 3.
Maybe Trey Tucker's the new Brock Bowers.
Maybe. This is all according to PFF, by the way. Okay. Juju Smith-Schuster, Matt Collins, that's one that's not surprising. Mitchell Tinsley, Cincinnati Bengals wide receiver, Devon Vele, and then Matthew Golden, funny enough. It probably just depends on the alignment and everything like that. Like, you're probably detached from the formation and everything. I would imagine you're not true on ball, hand in the dirt, you know, a blocking threat. I'd be curious what those formation, what those plays actually looked like. I of course could go queue them up and watch them, but yeah, it's just, this is why it's just really difficult to compare these two, because what we said, Bowers earlier, obviously had a good chunk, was targeted on a bunch of his plays as an inline tight end. Ultimately, like the guy who had the most targets as an inline tight end last year was Dalton Schultz with 70. Brock Bowers had 26 targets. It's just very different. It's just very different. Yeah. So yeah, I think it's just tough to compare these positions in general, but I certainly think if you're imagining what a move tight end would look like as a wide receiver from a deployment standpoint, it is going to look more like a Drake London than a Jaxon Smith-Njigba. So that's why I thought that comparison just made sense. And like, I just got finished with London's season from last year, like at the end of last week. And one thing that was interesting with him, and I think this would actually be true if they went kind of this direction, like they used him, they used Brock Bowers like this with the Raiders, he still ran a ton of like dig and out routes in that intermediate area. And we've obviously talked about Jaxon Smith-Njigba ran a ton of those routes too. But and I think this is why it comes down to like quarterback, when sometimes you see these route trees changed. Last 2024, Drake London ran a dig route on 27% of his charted routes and a curl route on 16%. This past year, that number almost like flipped. His dig route percentage went down to 15.8%, and then his curl route percentage went up to 21.6%. So basically those numbers almost flipped. And I think a lot of that is like giving just Michael Penix that like kind of straight line throw that he likes. And obviously Kirk Cousins, who is the quarterback for most of that 2024 season, he will really throw over the middle and all of that. Penix doesn't as much. So I think that it kind of comes down to Mendoza, who really didn't use that intermediate middle of the field all that much in college, and did kind of throw like outside the numbers and along. Just that was the offense that they ran. So I do think like maybe Bowers could honestly be running a lot of these like hitches and deeper curls this year. And I thought that was, again, that's why that comparison kind of stuck with me a little bit.
All right, we shall see. I'm excited to read the full profile on Drake London, that's for sure. We continue our preseason quarterback wide receiver matching game. Today, it is Drake May and A.J. Brown. When you take a look at Alfredo's charting here for Drake May, very few screens, very few flat routes, which I thought to be really interesting, especially for a young quarterback where, I mean, shit, we talked about it last week, right? Like Shador Sanders was throwing a ridiculous amount of screens and flat routes. Drake May, they're asking him to make a lot of big boy throws, very few just kind of sort of layup targets here. And when you look at the charting overall, really heavy in terms of in-breaking pass diet, 17% curls, 13% slants, but also threw a lot of go balls as well, 10% route participation in terms of the go balls, with excellent success rate, might I add, on those nine routes at 58.5%. There is no question. We just talked about how heavy in-breaking pass diet, Matt, again, 17%. Of his throws were on curl routes. And you know what? That was his best route when throwing it as a quarterback. 84% success rate throwing on those curls, which is a really, really good number. I guess I'll throw it to you now. So Drake May, you hear these numbers, you look at the charts, and then now he's got a brand new guy in A.J. Brown. How does that all match up?
Well, obviously the Brown conversation kind of has to be rooted in what version of AJ Brown we are going to get. I've, you know, made no bones about it. I think that we saw some natural signs of decline in AJ Brown's game last year. If you've read the full profile on the site, you know that I go into detail about that. And some of the ways that he, you know, where we saw most of the drop off, but also how we saw him kind of improve in the second half of the 2025 season. And I do think that's something to note here. I've seen other people put the splits out as well, like just from a production standpoint, what they've seen on film. That is something to note, that he was better in the second half of the season, because he essentially, like, he was playing with a hamstring injury, right? At the beginning of the year, he came with a hamstring injury. Then he sits one game before the bye. So he gets like 2 weeks off. He comes back and was definitely better in that second half of the season. Now, his success rates are, I mean, in the first 7 weeks of the season were really, really poor. We're talking about like bottom of the league stuff. But then in the back half of the year, definitely better. 77% success rate versus man, 76 versus zone, and 75 versus press, which are obviously are better than the full profile 2025 numbers. And you know, they're good. Those are really good results, but they're not as good as peak AJ Brown. So my take on AJ Brown is that we are going to get just kind of some version of a diminished player than what we got at his peak. It's just the question is how much, which is always the tricky part with wide receiver decline, as we talk about pretty much ad nauseum on the show. So even still, though, I think if we're looking at AJ Brown from what he was in 2025,
yeah,
it is funny that you mention the curl route being Drake May's best success rate pattern,
mm-hmm,
because that was what everybody was so pissed about AJ Brown running a lot of curl routes in Philadelphia last year. Remember, that was a whole like, mm-hmm, Kevin Petula just calling up hitches. That's kind of what they ran a lot, by the way, in Philadelphia throughout the course of AJ Brown's tenure there, because it is a little bit of what the quarterback likes to throw. That's one thing, yeah, too. I've seen this be, well, he's going and you highlighted it, right? Drake May really good on go routes. I mean, we haven't done a Jalen Hurts profile yet. Alfredo hasn't written up a Jalen Hurts profile yet, but yeah, I mean, yeah, previously Jalen Hurts actually is a really good go route thrower. Like, that's one of the, yep, balls he throws really well. So, you know, that could even be like, I think if Drake May is a better quarterback than Jalen Hurts, I'm okay saying that. I don't know where you are with that. I'm okay saying that I think Drake May right now is better than Jalen Hurts, but still, like, that's kind of a going from a strength to a strength, even if obviously Jalen Hurts wasn't at his best last year. I think what's going to be more fascinating is just like, where does he fill in throughout the rest of the route tree, as opposed to kind of the go and curl route for AJ Brown? Because I would argue that, and I know the natural thought is like, and I want to unpack this further with you, the natural thought has been like, well, AJ Brown is just going to come in here and be like the vertical X receiver of this offense. I'm like, does he have to be? Because in that way, he's going to be running. Yeah, Drake May's awesome at throwing these nine routes, these go routes. But I mean, I think there is no doubt like AJ Brown has diminished in that, like even in the magical kind of like you want to split the season in half. You know, this is just my opinion. There's still a clear decline in his ability to separate on nine routes and go and the go routes and stuff like that. I think he's still really good short and intermediate. And I, mm-hmm, wonder if there's a way they can lean into that more this year with Drake May and how they compare that together, as opposed to like AJ Brown has to be the on ball outside go route receiver. They kind of got other guys to do that. I would like to see them lean more into their connection on some of those short and intermediate routes.
Well, I do think that should be part of what they do, just to kind of sort of keep the defenses honest, right? And honestly, to kind of sort of keep AJ Brown happy too, you know? Like, I think a lot of his frustration was that he wasn't getting a lot of these down the field routes. So if they can kind of draw up a couple of these plays where he actually does get a shot play at least once a game.
Sure.
I think we just went too many weeks without seeing a shot play down the field for AJ Brown. I mean, just ask him to go make a play sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
And I do think that Drake May will allow for that to happen too. That being said, your charting of AJ Brown 2025 isn't a great picture. It's certainly not a rosy picture, although maybe it is rosy because it's all red downfield. 28% success rate on the corner, 49% success rate on the nine, 62% on the post. That's not good.
Yeah.
I'm still holding out some kind of hope that a lot of that was motivation based, and or at least was influenced by motivation and surroundings and just how much he was into it mentally. But I tell you what, man, it wasn't that long ago where this guy was absolutely crushing it downfield, right?
Yeah.
You just pop on his 2024 tape and his 2024 reception perception data, and you're like, golly, this guy was incredible down the field. So can he tap into that? You know what, Matt? Can it be somewhere in between? Because I tell you what, if it's somewhere in between in 2026, I think Drake May and AJ Brown will have a pretty good and successful connection.
That's the hope, is that it's somewhere in between. Look, you look at the trade compensation. If the Patriots thought they were getting 2024 AJ Brown, they traded like a first and a third in this year's upcoming draft, and like that's it. But remember, yeah, they gave a 2028 first. So I think they're even acknowledging they're not expecting to get peak AJ Brown for 1 year, and certainly not for multiple years. And I don't think Patriots fans should be expecting that either. You know, in that regard, I think that there's a lot of ways that this can absolutely work out for them here in 2025. Now, I mean, I just find like the warp, you know, from a fantasy standpoint, like he's going, you know, super high. Like there's drafts now where he's going like ahead of Drake London. To me, I just think I wish he was around cheaper than I would think about it from a fantasy standpoint, because I just think like we're essentially that price is just assuming he is going to be back to peak powers and everything like that. And I just don't want to assume that. I think the motivation argument, and I know people totally disagree with me, and you clearly disagree with me, so the motivation bros can be on James Coe's side here. I just think, to me, it's like you have no idea. Like you have no clue if that's the reality. But I think you can definitely
100%.
What you can point to, though, is the injury. And I think if you're like trying to cope on the AJ Brown stuff and how he's still going to have this big year, and you know where I'm going to end up being wrong on this, or just like the concern could be unfounded that he's in decline, is that the first half of the season was so injury tainted that it makes the final product look really, really not what you would want. And look, by the way, even the full reception perception profile, he's still like a 54th percentile success rate versus man player. Like that's not totally in decline. If you look at some of his reception perception, like full season, you know, comparables in the comparison tool, like it's just kind of X receivers basically at every phase of their career, right? Like there's it's kind of all over the place, but there are still some, you know, useful players. You know, like Terry McLaurin's 2024 season, like there's a DeAndre Hopkins like Houston season in here. DK Metcalf in 2024, ironically his now current teammate Romeo Doubs in 2025. So it's like these are guys that aren't, you know, atrocious. It's just what's the next step? That's the thing. Can he hold out at this level this year? Because I think that's good. I think he can. I think it will be worth it for the Patriots. I think him and Drake May will have a really good connection. I think Drake May actually could, you know, even improve maybe in year three in the NFL some of these. Some of the throw, like I would love to see more dig routes for Drake May. Like, whoa, we've got 6.7%. I would love to see that go up, you know. Post routes is definitely above average, but I'd love to see more of that type of stuff. Slants, like AJ Brown, even last year when he was a diminished player, in my opinion, still ran a slant on 21% of his charted routes and had an 83% success rate. One of the better marks in the league. Like that's an area where I think this version of AJ Brown can make Drake May better. Like I've always thought that Drake May can throw a good outbreaker, but that was his lowest relative to average success rates. That was his lowest graded route for us last year, was the out route at 60.5%. AJ Brown, even again in this diminished form in the full season profile, had an 84% success rate on out routes. But I think all of those routes I'm highlighting here, like the horizontal breaking patterns, which by the way can be really good for production, all of those are going to just be easier if he is used more as the Z receiver and less as the X. And I think that's something that I keep coming back to here, because we just know this over the course of studying receivers with reception perception since from 2014 to current. Like one of the ways to ease these signs of decline when they start to come in is a position switch to more. Not necessarily just like, okay, let's kick this guy into the slot. I'm not just saying that, but moving them off ball and making them more of a Z receiver, I think just really helps this stuff. And like James, again, this is my point. Why does AJ Brown have to be the X on this offense? They have three guys right now, as we are currently taping this on, you know, Monday, July 20th. They have three guys on this roster who were X receivers when they played last year in Romeo Doubs, Kayshon Boutte, and Kyle Williams. Like, I think all three of those guys probably could also stand to not play X as much as they did last year.
Yeah, I was just about to say.
but can it be like 50-50, you know? I mean, especially like Kyle Williams, obviously we'll see how much he even plays, whatever.
Right.
But he's definitely. I hope he plays, but we'll see. Yeah. Doubs, I think, could be useful if he's kicking around the formation, whatever.
Sure. How about Matt Collins, baby?
I mean, you know Matt Collins will be there doing his thing. But yeah, I mean, like Kayshon Boutte, like make him, he was a very much a sacrificial X receiver last year, and him and Drake May had a really good connection on those go routes. Keep that up. Keep him on the roster. I know he's kind of like a guy that's maybe wants to be traded or they've kicked about trading, whatever, but keep him on the roster. Sacrificial X receiver, Kayshon Boutte, it worked for you last year, but you probably need like a better, like if AJ Brown is just in the Mac Hollins role, which was mostly like a Z movement player because they lean into his blocking ability, you're getting a much improved receiver, even if AJ Brown's in decline, in my opinion, than what Mac Hollins gave them last year. Like, and here's the thing. This isn't just Matt Harmon comes up with a little theory about how AJ Brown could be used. We've seen AJ Brown be used this way before. we've seen it. We've got examples. Not even just, and I know I've pointed this out before, but in AJ Brown's last season with Mike Vrabel with the Titans in 2021, he took 68.9% of his sampled snaps outside, which was the second lowest of his career, and 61.6% of his snaps off the line of scrimmage, the highest rate of his career. In Philadelphia, first year there, almost the exact same. Career low, 68% sampled snaps outside, 54% snaps off ball. Then second year in Philadelphia, 74.8% snaps outside. Okay, it goes up, but he took 56% of his sampled snaps off the line of scrimmage. Like, those first 2 years, Devontae Smith was the X receiver, AJ Brown,
right,
the Z slot. Like, let's do that again. Like,
go back to that.
I think we get a better version of AJ Brown in way. So, like, lock me into Patriots beat reports, baby. I want to know where the receivers are lining up, you know?
Sure.
Like,
sure.
Like, let me see that. I mean, I'm telling you, man, like, that's going to be really important when it comes to what is AJ Brown going to be this year and everything like that. Like, dude, my guy, Taylor Kyles, bro, like he's one of the best people that covers the Patriots. I'm going to be locking in on his camp reports because I know he's a sicko. He's going to be talking about where these receivers line up, and I'm going to be paying attention to that.
I love it. I love it. Again, going back to this quarterback wide receiver matching data that we've got here. And obviously you guys can do the research on your own, receptionperception.com. Drake May, if you take a look at his three most thrown routes, not including the check down, it is the slant, it's the curl, two inbreakers, and then it's the nine, right? So the curl was his most thrown route that he had at 17.6%, the slant at 13%, the nine at 10%. When you look at AJ Brown, 2025 profile, his top three routes that he ran, slant, curl, nine. It all kind of sort of lines up. And again, in fourth place was the dig route, right? So that was another inbreaker there. Then you took a look at Romeo Doubs. What are his three most run routes? Well, it would be the slant, the curl, and the dig, right? So again, it's interesting. I think New England came in and said, all right, man, get me some guys that could go play outside. And get me guys that can play outside and also run a lot of inbreakers. This is going to be the kind of sort of, I think they just lean more into what Drake May does well, which is, again, throwing some of these inbreakers. So, man, and listen, he's got the arm strength to throw a bunch of out routes and corners if they want to, totally. Comeback routes if they want to. But, man, I just think, again, this is part of Josh McDaniels' offense. Get some guys that can play outside, that can get vertical, but that can also run inside as well. And shoot, man, they have certainly surrounded Drake May with a couple of these guys, Romeo Doubs and AJ Brown.
I'm really excited to think about I think they'll play a lot more 12 personnel and they'll get heavier this year. Remember, they signed blocking tight end Julian Hill, who unfortunately is going to be out for the season. But that was obviously like a declared intention. Eli Raritan was, Nate Tice really loved Eli Raritan. They took him in the draft on day two. He's a guy that I think could be an inline tight end at time. Hunter Henry can do some inline stuff, like just replacing Austin Hooper, I think will be an upgrade there. They bring in Reggie Gilliam, who's like a fullback, and he could play some inline as well. So I think they'll be in more heavy personnel stuff. And like in that sort of package, I actually kind of like the idea of, you know, Romeo Doubs running some of those inbreakers you talked about and AJ Brown being the out route player. And like, that's the explosive option that they go to is AJ Brown as the off ball Z receiver in a 12 or 21 personnel look. And like, that's how they access more explosive plays this year. I'm definitely paying attention to, because based on the charting data and Alfredo's profile, I do feel like those outbreaking routes are the area where Drake May can improve the most. Like there's obviously a way to build a strength on a strength. And I think that can happen here too, but because AJ Brown was still so successful in those outcuts, and I think teams will look to make more use of explosive plays from condensed formations I think that's going to be a theme of this year. I do think that can be where AJ Brown is really impactful for the Patriots. But again, my opinion is just obviously we are in decline watch. Of course, it's just he's a 29-year-old receiver with a history of lower body injuries, and we saw a dip in his film last year. Just the question is, what's the next step? We're on that decline watch, but I think the best way to push off that decline is to not have him run so much X receiver stuff. I mentioned some of those off ball rates and everything. He took 85% of his sampled snaps as an outside receiver, which was the highest since his second season in the league. AJ Brown did, and 72% snaps on ball last year, which was again the highest of his career since his second season, and without a doubt the most since he's been a Philadelphia Eagle, about the only season of the four over 70%. So I'd like to see a role change for AJ Brown. I think that can help him not decline as much this year.
Oh, there's no question. There is no question. Okay, so we talk about quarterbacks here. I know we're a wide receiver show, but golly, hey, listen, three new running back profiles have hit the site as well. Cam Scadabo, Woody Marks, Quinshon Judkins, full-on profiles for all three of these guys. And Matt, I think the theme here is rookies that showed some promise, but then also, well, at least for two of them, certainly a lot of question marks going into 2026 based off of injuries in terms of Cam Scadabo and Quinshon Judkins. I don't know, man. I don't know if you had a chance to take a look at some of these running back profiles or whatever it might be, but I would think that Cam Scadabo profile will be the most interesting and probably the most sought after in terms of like what are our users and readers looking for here? Because Scadabo, what an interesting season he had.
Yeah, what an interesting weekend he had too. Did you see?
Yes.
it's good timing for you, buddy. You know, for you to put this up on Monday morning.
Yeah.
Cam Scadabo made some headlines this weekend with his backflip. Don't love that. Don't mean to be a boomer, but don't love that. Very interesting. You mentioned he was used like the juggernaut at one times in your profile, just forcibly meet on, I think, in pass protection, right? So I thought that stood out to me. But yeah, man, I don't know. Give me your overall thoughts on Scadabo as a player after the rookie season.
So I think we talked about this during his prospect profile too. He just can't get outside. You know, that's just not part of his what he does in terms of his run diet, right? Like he wants to play in between the tackles. What I said about Scadabo in his prospect profile, and I still truly believe this, is that he's got this elite like lateral movement, right? So he'll press to the outside and threaten outside, even though he's got no chance of getting to the outside. He'll threaten the outside and force a linebacker to make a decision or somebody fill in that gap to make that decision. And then he's able to just put his foot in the ground, go back the other way and hit the designed hole. So that's really what I like about his game. But like I said, in terms of running backs who can get to the outside, those are the guys that you're looking for. I do question whether or not Scadabo will be a great fit in this Giants offense. When you're talking about Matt Nagy, Matt, how much like gap scheme stuff will there be versus how much zone stuff will there be? I'm tending to think there's going to be a lot more zone runs unless John Harbaugh puts his thumb on that scale and forces a few more man gap stuff. That's why I'm a little hesitant to say Cam Scadabo is going to be a great fit, because I think from the charting anyways, he was much, much better in man gap than he was in zone.
Well, you got to remember, though, you know who else is on this coaching staff and is definitely going to be putting a thumb on the scale when it comes to what type of run game they're going to have is senior offensive assistant Greg Roman. You know, there's a Harbaugh in charge here, which means that Greg Roman has to have a place on the staff.
And he's got to have a job.
My guess is that he's going to have a pretty serious, kind of control of the run game there. I actually kind of wonder, because look, we can be honest, like Matt Nagy was a little bit of an arranged marriage here for John Harbaugh, or not even maybe arranged marriage is not the right way to say it, but a little bit of a fallback option for the Giants. They thought that they would be getting Todd Monken as their offensive coordinator, but then the Cleveland Browns hired Todd Monken as the head coach. So they kind of, you know, they went with Matt Nagy they scrambled with the Matt Nagy fallback plan. But I think getting Greg Roman in the mix will keep the offense kind of from a run game, because that run game in Kansas City last couple of years has been so bad. They had a 2.9% explosive run rate the last 2 years did the Kansas City Chiefs,
Oy.
Which is 32nd in the NFL.
by a pretty big margin, dude.
Correct. Yes, because 30th and 31st, they were like over 5%. And then The next team is like 6%. So by a standard deviation perspective, they were 32nd by a lot. So I don't know that they watched the Matt Nagy run game and were like, yeah, let's get some of that in here. I think that's why Greg Rome's going to have a pretty big thumb on the scale when it comes to that. And obviously, That's more of his bread and butter is the man gap stuff. And yeah, you mentioned 55% success rate on man gap runs, 44% on zone runs, his best stuff being on inside gap runs. I think that's going to be they're going to lean that way, I would imagine, in the run game. And they have the horses to do that up front. I mean, You know, they've getting Francis Maunoa to be a guard for them, I think could be a pretty killer thing from a man gap perspective. So I think that's probably going to stay the same. So if you're into Cam Scataboo this year, I think you're kind of hoping that that stays the same. But I'm with you that this Giants team, right? Like I don't know that they were dead set on Cam Scataboo coming back as like the feature back, right? There were rumors that they were attached to Kenneth Walker. There were rumors that they wanted Jeremiah Love in the draft, but he went third. Obviously, that was ahead of where they were picking. So I think they're like content with Scataboo, but I do wonder, like, is Tyrann Tracy still going to be in the mix here? Probably.
Yes, I would say so. By the way, he's a good player too. Like, yeah, if you go back and... Yeah, no, go back to his 2024 profile that we've got on the site. And man, Tracy's a good player. And again, obviously, Devin Singletary getting older and getting injured opened the door for Scataboo. But no, I think Tracy is a very good player, too. And I do think that he'll have a big time say in this Giants offense, too.
Yeah, I mean, just stylistically, I think they complement each other well. And obviously Cam Scott was coming off of a major injury and is doing backflips and, you know, falling backwards. So we'll see how that goes.
Why? I mean, talk about like a slap to the head moment. You know, you're just like, Cam, what are we doing out here? You know, and I know some of the internet people are like, yeah, who cares? Let the guy do backflips.
He's himself.
But actually, he's just enjoying himself. And it's like, yeah, but he's putting unnecessary stress on a major injury, you know, ankle dislocation, broken leg, and all that kind of stuff. And you know what? Let me just put it to you this way, Matt. I'll listen to the doctors in regards to this. And a lot of the doctors that I've seen have said, hey, listen, you want to blow out an ACL? Go do what he just did, you know? And I don't need to see that. It's like, what are we doing out here, Cam? I just don't get it. And he, look, he's a very unique personality,
yeah,
for sure. But yeah, that's just, you talk about just boneheaded moment, man. Like, I can't believe he did that. That's crazy.
Yeah, I'm fascinated to see just how much of like that admittedly was a pretty cool run that both Jackson Dart and Cam Scataboo had together under the Brian Daboll, like, I'm trying to save my job run there in the middle of the season,
right?
Which obviously flamed out, didn't work out for Daboll, and Scataboo was hurt. Dart, obviously, pretty, you know, mixed rookie season, but some positive, some negative. I'm just curious to see like what those two guys look like in what I imagine is going to be a very different environment from a schematic and certainly professionalism standpoint with John Harbaugh as
coach. That's such a great way.
I do appreciate the good thing. The good thing about Harbaugh, though, and like he had this when Malik Nabi, because this stuff is obviously like it doesn't really matter. At the end, I mean, it would matter if Cam Scataboo blew out his knee doing the backflip at the Fanatics Fest or whatever.
Right.
But I did appreciate when Malik Nabers was on a Bleacher Report draft stream and was kind of like saying, I don't really get like talking about, you know, Arvell Reese when the Giants, like how that was going to work out or whatever. You know, John Harbaugh's like, you're saying to the media, you guys are going to find, like, we don't make a big deal out of this stuff, which I appreciate about Harbaugh, because a lot of stuff gets made a big deal out of because you're the New York Giants, and I think he's a right fit for that. So we'll see how it goes on the field, though. That's going to be an interesting. Can Cam Scataboo take a step in year two? Does he look better? Because he's clearly, like, based on your profile, like, good. Like, you know, I joke about this, like, how people use the word useful, right? You're like, he's useful. That's like, you're not that into it. But when someone's like, man, he's useful, like, it's the intonation of the word. I think Cam Scataboo is useful. Like, he's useful. Like, he's a useful back based on your charting.
That's a great way to put it. Great way to put it. Yep.
But like, can he be more than that? I think that's the question.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of what my profile was trying to explore, right? Like, again, much better in man gap. 55% is about, we're getting close to league average here, but, you know, it's still not the best. We'd like man gap success to be, I guess, around 55%. I guess that's fine, but 60% is probably where we're kind of trying to push that towards. But 44% success rate on zone runs that's not usable. That's bad. That's a straight up bad. And then when we break it up into inside versus outside, 51% inside run success rate, which again is about league average. It's pretty good. 47% success rate on outside runs. That's extremely poor. We want that to be way closer to 60%. So, pretty tough. I would say though, two features and stats that we keep track of is broken tackle rate, and explosive rate. And I thought in those two measurements, I thought he was pretty good, right? So 24% broken tackle rate, which is about, it's kind of sort of league average-ish. But again, I just think, you know, when you take a look at how he got those broken tackles, obviously it was a lot of fun. But overall though, I think he's a good tackle breaker. We'll see how much the injury impacts him. But he is definitely in that, you know, in that range of like, you know, good tackle breaking running backs. You want that to be around 25%. He's at 22%. But again, he's a rookie. He was at 24% broken tackle rate. So he's getting really, really close to being, you know, top tier in regards to breaking tackles. So that's pretty good, man. So again, when we take a look at some of like the individual traits of like explosive run rate, broken tackle rate, like Cam Scatabo, I thought looked really, really good.
I like it. Well, I'm really interested to see what he does. Can we talk about the next guy that you want to get to here? Because
Woody Marks, man.
I know you. Well, here's why I'm really curious to hear what you have to say about Woody Marks, because as I found out recently, we did a best ball stream for the YouTube channel. People can go check out the best ball stream on YouTube. I found out through that stream that you absolutely hate David Montgomery, new Texans running back. So because you're down, typically, like if you're down on the starter, and I'm kidding, James doesn't hate Dave Montgomery, but he's pretty low on Dave Montgomery, as I've come to find out. So usually if you're down on the starter, you're at least interested in that backup, right? So what level of interest do you have in Woody Marks after doing the charting, James Coe?
So if you read the profile, which is really interesting, like I talk about Woody Marks a lot, and then, you know, and then at the very, very end of my profile, Matt, I actually take the time to write a few sentences about Jawar Jordan because
all right.
Because I
so that answers that question.
I kind of sort of like Jawar Jordan in Houston, and he is steaming up the depth chart. I think he has got a firm hold of the RB3 role in Houston over British Brooks. So we'll see. But again, we're in freaking July. Okay. Yeah. So a lot can happen here. But I do like Jawar Jordan. Look, what Matt is referencing to is basically I said David Montgomery. I think my quote was he has no chance in Houston.
That was pretty close to your quote. Yeah.
Yeah, I've gotten a couple of games into David Montgomery, and it's not looking great. And he's going from a, you know, Detroit offensive line, which is, you know, really good, to a Houston offensive line, which is better than it was last year, but
a work in progress.
Yes, a work in progress would probably be the best way. Hey, listen, if they get to league average, that would be a massive W for Houston. Massive. I don't know if they'll get there, but they're going in the right direction, is Houston. But certainly not top of the class when we're talking about offensive line strength, right? So I'm not really, like I said, I am not really liking the David Montgomery signing. But that being said, I understand what Houston is doing. And similarly, I didn't understand what they were doing with Woody Marks, right? When you look at the prospect profile, I talked about Woody Marks as being really good getting to the outside. I thought, okay, they're going to employ, Nick Caley and them are going to employ a lot more outside zone concepts because, look, their inside stuff wasn't really working. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Well, as we find out, that's pretty much not what they were looking for at all. And my question to Houston would just basically be like, why did we even burn a draft pick on Woody Marks at all? You know, like know, if you want to run it weird. In between the tackles, find a running back that can run it in between the tackles. That's certainly Matt Harmon, not Woody Marks. It was a big struggle for him as a prospect. It was a big struggle for him as a pro.
You know, and it was so weird too, because like, yeah, Woody Marks wasn't supposed to be that guy, and they traded up for him. Like they traded a future draft pick to go get him. So it is very odd, right? That whole thing. By the way, Jawar Jordan had 101 rushing yards against the Arizona Cardinals in week 15.
I love this stat.
That was the most by a Texans back last year. The second place was Woody Marks with 74 rushing yards. So it was the most by a lot. If you go back to even just the 2024 season when Joe Mixon was involved, like just that it's still one of the most rush. Like it's Damian Pierce, 2024 season finale, week 18 against Tennessee Titans. He had 176 yards, but then it's Joe Mixon, the Jawar Jordan in terms of the most rushing yards for Texans back. The last, by the way, Damian Pierce shows up again with 76 rushing yards in 2024 in week 6 against the New England Patriots before we get to another 2025 Texans back, which is again Woody Marks with 74 yards in week 12 against the Buffalo Bills. So yeah, your boy Jawar Jordan has actually had some production.
I think that was back. It was late in the season, obviously, week and I 15, think Arizona
Cardinals, yeah obviously
Arizona it's was like, yeah, yeah but yeah, yeah, yeah so it's fine but that still, being said it yeah
it, it is
yeah no
it happened
but still But it happened.
It's a thing that happened. So we can just go ahead and lock this in right now.
George wins the guy.
Well, I was okay. To my point, what I was going to say was we can just go ahead and lock this in right now. Jawar Jordan is going to make like a sleeper king appearance at some point this year for James Coe.
Correct.
Like, right? Like that's 100%. Definitely happening. And you just proved it by what you said. So there we go.
Okay. We talk about, hey, like Houston, why didn't they run to the outside more? I think a lot of it has to do with their offensive line. I'll get that into that in just 1 second here. But the Texans posted the third lowest outside run rate, according to Sports Info Solutions, right? And again, I don't understand if you're just going to run this thing inside a lot. The Nick Chubb connection pairing makes a lot of sense. Woody Marks, not so much. 45% success rate on inside runs. Again, it's not the worst, but it's so far from, you know, we want that much closer to 55%. I mean, shoot, just get above 50%. I mean, let's just use our brains here. If you don't have a successful rush on 50% of your carries, that's not good, you know? Yeah, so no. Let's get there. And by the way, he was much better on outside runs, about 57% success rate on outside runs, which is still a bit shy of the 60% benchmark we're looking for on outside runs, but still overall pretty good. So again, you talk about quote unquote useful players. Woody Marks is that guy. Like he was a really good pass catcher. He can run to the outside. It's just what Houston was asking him to do and what Houston did a lot, which is run between the tackles, Matt. Just didn't fit, and it just didn't make a lot of sense, you know?
So you're just totally down on Montgomery being, like, that exact guy for them, like, the between-the-tackles banger? I mean, like, let's be honest about this, James. Like, the bar to clear here for an inside banger back for the Texans is pretty low.
Pretty low.
This is a team that ranks 31st in rushing success rate since they drafted C.J. Stroud. Like, even if Montgomery is just like a, hey, keep us on schedule, get us on I don't know what that means from a fantasy perspective. We can just put that aside. Like we're not talking about that at this point, but like just for the Texans, for this to be a good acquisition. I mean, you said he's there, you know, he's not gonna do anything. What did you say? He's toast. He's finished.
Yeah, he's toast.
He's toast.
Yeah,
okay.
He's toast. Yeah. He's toast.
All right. Well, okay. But you can't even imagine him being like a back that just keeps them on schedule, like on an offense that, you know, is going to definitely play with more heavy personnel this year after they were, I believe 32nd. In that, like they played no like multiple tight end stuff last year. They went actually with, because they just didn't have a lot of tight ends on the roster. They went with more like jumbo packages, like six offensive linemen, which okay, that's fine, but you don't marry your run and pass game very well when you go into the jumbo stuff. So I don't know, like you can't see that being the run game a little bit better, like maybe 25th in the league. Again, that would be a big success if Dave Montgomery can help him be 25th.
Well, this was the problem, right? Like, well, I do think that they have improved their offensive line. I do think that. That being said, Nick Chubb was coming off of a major injury, but again, I thought he played okay. And to me, Montgomery's basically, I know he didn't
come on.
Look, I'm just saying,
I
love Nick Chubb too. I'm just saying, David Montgomery is, again, if you didn't like Nick Chubb in that offense, wait till you see David Montgomery. Like, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. If y'all didn't like Nick Chubb, watch David Montgomery transport into this offense. It's going to be very similar. We're talking a lot of 2-yard runs, a lot of like running into the backs of his offensive line. I'm telling this, it's not going to be good. I am extremely low on David Montgomery, even in Houston, where again, everyone is projecting this guy to be like almost like an every down back. And my brain can't even imagine that happening in Houston. I think he's going to be an early down banger. I think Woody Marks is going to get on passing downs. If you're buying into this whole David Montgomery scenario, you're assuming that the defense is going to, again, be tops in the league. You're going to be playing these low scoring grind them out games. And you're just hoping that, you know, Houston scores 17 points in a 17-7 win. I mean, that's basically what you're telling yourself if you think David Montgomery is going to be that guy. And I just think there's going to be a lot more, you know, I just think it's going to be more open. And Woody Marks will have a say. And again, I'm not going to be surprised if Jawar Jordan has a little bit of a say here as well. But if you didn't like Chubb last year, again, you're not going to like David Montgomery.
Oh, man. Okay. I mean, I'm not even the biggest Dave Montgomery bull this year or anything like that. Like, I'm not crazy about Montgomery. I just, the bar to clear for being a helpful back for the Texans is just so low.
Let me ask you, was Nick Chubb a helpful back?
No.
I agree.
I just feel like Nick Chubb was coming back from these atrocious, like, major injuries. Yep. David Montgomery, I get it. He's what? Is he 29 years old now?
29 years old. Yep.
Third team. It's typically not what you're looking for from a back. But like, and I don't know that I would have made that trade and the whole deal, whatever.
No. Yeah, no.
But again, can he just be better? I think he could be better than
2025 Nick Chubb? We'll see.
Yeah. Dude, I think you're way focused on the name Nick Chubb and not focused on the output that we got. By the way, if we're doing my rushing yard the last few years, it's gonna take a long time before we get to Nick Chubb's 61 yards in week 5 against the Baltimore Ravens. That's pretty far down the Texans. There's a lot of Woody Marks between them. I don't know. I'm hoping for the best because I really do think this Texans offense is fascinating. Maybe I have a weird affinity for the Texans offense, thanks to my weird affinity for Nico Collins, as one of the hosts on this show once said about me several years ago. I think that tag aged well, but I'm interested in the Higgins. I'm interested in the Noel Tank Dell kind of aspect of all this. If Tank Dell can be out there, and what they're going to do from a heavy personnel perspective. So yeah, I'm fascinated by this Texans offense. So again, I'm just hoping that Dave Montgomery can help them be the 20th best rushing game in the NFL, as opposed to the second worst, which is what they've been since CJ Stroud has been drafted.
Yeah, I think they will be closer to that just because the offensive line has improved a touch. And we'll see if Woody Marks can improve as a player too. I'm not giving up on him yet, you know? So, was he not good inside? Will he be good inside? Probably not, but maybe they run a few more outside zone concepts to get Woody Marks going.
You traded me Woody Marks maybe I should have thought about this at the time. You traded me Woody Marks last year in our Reception Perception Sickos Dynasty League. And he's definitely somebody I've been looking at this offseason, like, do I want this? Like, what's the future of Woody Marks? And I guess you're kind of telling me, based on your Dave Montgomery evaluation and like that there is at least a strength of Woody Marks's game as an outside runner.
Yep.
But like, you know, maybe leave the light. You're more than leaving the light on for Jawar Jordan, but maybe leave the light on a little bit for Woody Marks too, I guess.
Yes, that's exactly what I would say. You know, like, again, we talk about like useful, like, yeah, he's a useful player. Like, and by the way, I know that his pass blocking was a big time question mark. I certainly questioned it for sure going into last year. And while he was not, I wouldn't say he was great. I do think that he improved in that area quite a bit. If he could take another step forward in pass protection, then we're talking, okay, actually he's actually decent in this regard. So I would still say he's below average as a pass blocker, Matt, but it wasn't so horrifically bad that he couldn't be on the football field. Do you know what I mean? So, and he's a great pass catcher. Listen, great pass catcher out of the backfield too. So it's almost like, you know what he's like? He's almost like an upgraded scat back. You know, I think that's
basically, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, that's Woody Marks right there. Okay, I tell you what, I can speed run this Quinshon Judkins thing real quick.
How about we just tell people to go subscribe to the site and read it for themselves?
I think that would be fine.
I think we should do that because I think he's the most interesting of these players and the player that I'm the most interested in this year. So I think we should tell the people, go subscribe to the website and read James Coe's work because this is really good stuff on these running backs. So that's what I think we should tell
them. The Judkins profile, Matt, is really interesting because the numbers don't look good, but I paint a pretty rosy picture for Quinshon Judkins if he is healthy. So we'll figure out.
I do that all the time with the receivers. Sometimes like, hey, these numbers don't look that great, but here's how it can work out, right? Because guess what? We're not just a look at the number site, James Coe. We are a context-based website with it, which is why we don't just put out this data. We give you write-ups for each individual player. So the people should go read the Quinshon Judkins write-up because I'm going to read it and we'll get there together.
Cam Scadabo, Woody Marks, Quinshon Judkins. Their profiles are on the site, receptionperception.com. All right, go check that out for sure. All right, we got to go. For Matt Harmon, I'm James Coe. We'll see you. But remember, it's never too late to chase your dreams. All right, peace.